Hello and welcome back to the Men's Room. Thank you very much for joining us again. Make sure to follow us on Instagram at Real Men's Room. Make sure to subscribe to our YouTube channel, The Men's Room, and to hit that bell notification to keep updated. We're also on Twitter as well, at Real Men's Room. Crikey, how many times can I say fucking Men's Room within 1 minute?
I think that's a world record. It is the name of the show.
It is, yeah. That's a record, surely.
Good branding. We're real brand savvy people.
Exactly that. Get it in the subconscious. Exactly. Yes. So as always, I'm Greg, and joining me this week, we've got the amazing Adam Brown.
Hello, everyone.
And the brilliant Zach Borrett.
Hello, everyone.
Lads, this week we have been watching one of the best productions, not just on Netflix, but I think
ever
in TV history. Adam, introduce us to what we're talking about this week.
So this week we are talking about the Netflix original show, The Island, which is spelled I-Land. The writing in this show knows no bounds. Anyway, the show is basically playing on the sort of people stranded on an island thing. You've seen Lost, you've seen Lord of the Flies. You kind of know the idea. The idea being is that these 10 people, they wake up on an island. They don't know how they got there. They don't even know who they are. And it's them gradually unpacking the mystery of how they ended up there. If it sounds familiar, it's because you've seen Lost, which is infinitely better.
It has the exact same first shot as Lost.
This show. An eye-opening.
I thought it was like, oh, that's a nice shot. And I thought the opening bit was, the actual opening sequence was like, all right. And I was like, have I got the right show here? Like, this isn't that bad. And then they started speaking.
Yeah, that's exactly it. That's
And I was because it is a decent shot at the start. Like, oh, she wakes up.
Because it's copied. Because it isn't their shot.
and then the originality comes in, and she's got a fucking shell in her hand.
Right.
Like, honestly, it's the weirdest thing. I'm sat there. I'm like, what? Like in the first 3 minutes.
Yeah,
like they're not like panicking. This main character Chase goes up to
her name. I watched all the episodes and I never remembered it.
Well, that's the thing. I was going to test you, Adam. Can you tell me 3 character names?
There's KC,
right?
Minus the Sunshine Band, unfortunately. There's Chase. I just called her protagonist because I genuinely couldn't remember what her name was. I took a note of wasn't the rapey guy, wasn't his name like Brody or like Chad?
Yeah.
Rapey sports bro. Yeah, I think that's what I can't really remember.
But yeah, you're absolutely right. The characters in it are just, so we covered the plot there. They basically wake up on an island with no memory and they've all got an object. So there's 10 of them. And the acting is so terrible. So the first thing, you touched on it there, Zach, the first thing they do when they get on the island, you would band together and be like, right, what is going on here? What are we doing?
Yeah.
That doesn't happen. Casey straight away pulls a knife on the protagonist
and calls her a bitch.
One of the girls goes and sunbathes. One of the guys goes swimming within the first 15 minutes.
That doesn't go to the
weirdest character.
There's no urgency whatsoever. It's so random.
It is like they're chatting like they're in like a fucking staff room.
Right. Yeah.
Not on a deserted island.
Like, it's really quite bizarre. When did we realize that it was going to be garbage?
I watched the first episode, and as it was going, the dialogue was a bit of like, this could be bad acting or bad direction, but a good story here. And then I think by the end of episode 2, I was like, we won't go into spoilers just yet, but by the end of episode 2, when we know what happens, I was like, no.
Yeah, I've seen stuff on, I've seen stuff saying this is bad before, so I kind of came into this with an expectation,
right?
Yeah,
but then at the same time, I kind of went in there thinking, well, it's a Netflix original. Surely there's obviously going to be something, you know, something good about this. And obviously, you know, the some of the shots are nice. The production value is obviously high. But yeah. My God.
I was going to say.
I think it would have been about 3-4 minutes after it started. And I'm like, wow, this is god awful.
Do you want me to tell you the budget?
Go on.
So the budget was 14 million. It was two million per episode.
Holy shit. Is this Friends or the fuck?
Okay, just quickly, what things did we actually like about the show?
I like the potential.
This is going to be a short list, I imagine, but I'm curious anyway.
Yeah, to be fair, the plot or the whatever what it's actually about, I actually kind of liked. I thought it really had a lot of potential to it. It's just it was in every scene that I was kind of like, oh, this kind of has potential here. This could be a decent scene. It was ruined by bad acting, talking over each other, which was a weird thing that I saw in here. They'd like talk over each other and like you wouldn't be able to hear people talking.
Yeah.
Some other like honestly, every potential good scene was ruined. Genuinely.
I do agree. I think that there's definitely potential, but I think that the reason there's potential is because it has this exact thing has been done before. It isn't potential. It's just it smells of lost. It stinks of lost. So it just has been done and it's done well.
The prisoner aspect of it though I like.
Yeah.
In terms of the simulation, that's they didn't do that in Lost, did they? Surely.
That's true. But I feel as though they had a good idea there, but I feel like they shot the gun too early with revealing because there's 7 episodes in this, and by the end of episode 2, we know that she's in a simulation. But I mean, to be honest, at the end of episode 1, it doesn't really make any effort. I'm going into problems with it. Hang on, let me backtrack.
Let's keep it structured here. What are the positives? Let's try and keep to what's positive, just so we can then really dig into this thing.
Yeah,
it looks nice sometimes.
Sometimes, yeah.
Like it sometimes looks nice. The production value is surprisingly high, and certain like some of the CG elements, like some of the special effects, are surprisingly well done. And that's my list. That's all the good stuff.
The music at some points is decent as well. I like the
theme.
How tense it got sometimes.
Yeah.
That's like solely on a music purpose. But that's it, really.
I don't mind the theme song. Yeah, you're right. One thing that I do quite like is that it's quite respectful in that it doesn't keep you on the edge of your seat all the way to the 7th episode and then shit all over you. It shits on you in like the first 30 minutes. So I've absolutely come to terms with the fact that the next 7 hours are going to be dog shit.
That's a great point, actually.
So I can just sit back. I can just sit back and enjoy it for how shit it is rather than watch 6 hours and then realize, my God, I've just wasted a load of time.
Because there was a slight I can't think of the word. You know when you're intrigued to see what's happening in the next episode? It's not watchable. You do want to click on the next episode, though, to kind of see how bad it can get.
Just go full circle. It's like a car crash, really. You can't not watch.
Yeah, exactly. Right. Good way of putting it.
Exactly. Yeah. Should we go on to things that we really, really didn't like?
What do we think was the weakest element? Do we think it was... let's go the directing, the writing, or the acting. What do we think was the biggest culprit for why this show was bad?
It's got to be a mix between the writing and the acting. As you said, the island itself was so nice. Like some of the shots they took of this island, they could have made something so good out of this. Like, I don't know where they shot it. I'm trying to look now, and I can't really find it.
I find it interesting because initially I was watching it, I'm going, God, the acting's bad. But then I'd go, no, it's the writing that's bad. Because like and this is going to be a point in the fucking men's room bingo. I am an actor.
Are you? You an actor, Adam?
I rarely mention it.
Weird.
Like once every 5 minutes I mention it. But the performances are bad, but I don't like criticizing other actors because then I go and think, if I was given this dialogue, would I be able to sell it? And this is why I lean on there maybe being some bad directing as well as writing. A lot of the characters are horribly dull. Like I remember in that first scene's a good one because it immediately sets up just how fucking stupid the show's going to be. Like,
yeah.
What's Perfectly. Her name? Casey or whatever her name is. She's been in stuff as well. Like, I recognized her. I was like,
she's a good actress. She's Kate Bosworth.
Yeah.
She can be good, but she's given an awful Southern accent and no direction whatsoever.
Mm, definitely. Her whole she's so bad in this. Like, in the first scene, she, like, I get what the show's trying to do, because with a TV show, you want it to immediately, click, and it gets your interest straight away. It does some, you know, like, it immediately gives you a question, and you're like, oh, wow, what's this? Like, when you're writing, that's something you want to do. You want to get people involved by, like, page one. You want them to be, like, on board. Like, wow, that's an interesting visual. That's this, it's that. This show kind of does that, and in the moment the two of them meet each other, she basically goes, I'm going to be the bitch in this series.
Mm.
Like, she might as well say that. And she just, like, goes, well, I've got a knife. She's like a sort of angry, bitchy version of Crocodile Dundee. It's like, all right, fucking put your knife down. Like, it's so, like, random and awkward. I was like, what is going on? Like, I get what it's doing, but it's written with all the eloquence of a fucking gas explosion. It's like...
Yeah.
I have some examples of the dialogue that I took in my notes.
God.
These are the ones that stuck out for me. They're just so ham-fisted. So what my favourite was, don't lecture me, professor. Sounds like something year nine has written. Oh, this is a nice little exchange between Chase and the rapist. Chase said, survival of the fittest then, huh? Brody said, well, you are pretty fit. Chase said, thank you, so are you. And then proceeds to rape. Not rape, but attempted. Chase
proceeds to rape. I imagine that's what it's script.
Yeah, these are the script notes. Then there's one that Chase says, I might be your friend. Casey says, or you might not. Cool.
God.
Oh, go and get the first aid kit. Are you kidding me? It probably has Spider-Man Band-Aids.
Oh my God.
It's just written. Sorry, one of the scenes that absolutely infuriated me, sort of linked to dialogue, is that it's in that episode where we're basically just watching everyone's flashback and seeing, oh, you thought she was a bitch. Well, actually, she was in an abusive relationship. Oh, you thought he was nothing, but he's actually this. Trying to evoke emotion out of me for these characters that I could not give a shit about. I can barely remember their names. There was this whole 7-minute scene of a flashback of the two, Chase and Cooper, in the military together. And then he comes out of the flashback and the first line of dialogue is, we're in the military together. It's like, yes, I know that. I've just watched a 7-minute flashback. You don't need that dialogue in there. Like, honestly, what is that doing?
Like, you could literally I remember, and that would be more effective.
Right.
We were in the military together. You could just gone, I remember now. Like, that would immediately been better.
Yeah, absolutely.
That whole scene was weird, where they were talking to each other.
He asked her out during, like, a covert mission in the jungle.
Yeah. Lo and behold, he gets blown up.
And then he gets blown up. It's like, it's such a weird scene. Anyway, in answer to your question, Adam, I think that the acting is terrible, but I feel like the direction is pretty awful. And the writing, the script just, it wants to do so many things, but... It knows that it's only got 7 episodes, but it sort of doesn't tie things up. There's so many red herrings.
The writing is so cringy.
Yeah.
It's like a 15 that was written for 12-year-olds to say that I've watched a 15. Or like, it's made for kids to say I watched an adult movie or an adult TV show. Because I don't know how anyone could actually give that the green light or shows like that.
Mm. Yeah.
Right. Like, surely an executive can't be giving shows like that the green light.
I don't know. Maybe it was like a tax thing. Maybe if Netflix spent $14 million on anything, they wouldn't have to pay X amount of tax.
I can definitely see that.
You know what I mean? People donate to charity or buy blocks of gold. They just produce the island.
Yeah.
That's a great conspiracy, actually. Netflix avoids tax by making bad originals that does make money.
Exactly,
they do make money.
Yeah. Oh, wow. Absolutely. Should we look at some of the characters in a bit more depth?
Yeah, let's go through the characters, because
they're interesting.
There's a particular character I really want to rip the piss out of.
Excellent. We'll get to them, I'm sure. So main character Chase, passable performance from Natalie Martinez, passable at best.
Yeah,
but she only does a better job with what she's given than anyone else.
Yeah, but even then, I found her really irritating as main character. She was just constantly moany, shouty, sort of like Dora the Explorer, Lara Croft. I don't know. I didn't invest in her.
You know what my biggest problem with her, and it actually extends, it's a problem that then becomes an issue for every other character. I made a note of this. I said, like, one of the biggest detriments of this show is that it does have quite a big cast of characters who don't really do a lot.
Yeah.
But all the major, like, movement of the plot to Chase and no one else. Like, she discovers every major thing. Yeah. Whilst the other characters are just sort of bumming about picking their noses or whatever they're doing.
Yeah.
She's, like, running around, finding out the whole storyline. And it's like, why wasn't this sort of distributed amongst other characters? Where it's always her, she finds something, people go, "You're a lying bitch. No, I'm not. Yeah, you are. No,
basically,
I'm not."
That's yeah.
That is how it went. They got into an argument about her finding something every episode.
Everything. They didn't believe her, but then it's like, so what then? What do you think?
Look for anything themselves. So it's like, it's really strange. I was thinking about it. It's like the rest of the cast bum about and do nothing, and then they act all horrified when the main girl tries to move the plot forward. It's like, well, someone's got to fucking do it. Like, you guys are sitting about getting bananas from somewhere.
Where did the bananas come from? They were beautiful bananas.
Mm. That raises questions. Then it's like, where are those bananas coming from? I think when you start picking up little details, you know the show has made a mistake. If you're going, where they get that banana? It's like everything has failed at that point, I think.
It's because it's details that don't matter. If it was a genuinely good plot and good characters, you wouldn't even notice that they're eating bananas, probably.
No, exactly that. Exactly that.
Casey, we've touched on a little bit. It's like, yeah, we get it, you're a bitch.
She gets a little bit more stuff to do. She gets, I think, the only good scene in the show, which is where she discovers her backstory and has this sort of like vision of stuff going on around her. And that was almost effective, but it's...
Of when she sees her kids.
Yeah, like when she
sees her kids aren't actually there.
And the other guy's like, there's nothing there, and she's seeing stuff. That's almost well done.
Yeah, and the scene where she's pulled out of the sink and she's like looking like straight at the camera, that was a bit kind of, ooh, not bad.
Yeah,
but I hate how they gave her her name. Did you see how they named her in this? They briefly said it of why her name's Casey.
Tell me. They
called her kid killer or child killer or something.
What did they say?
I know. Literally, I think it's on the seventh episode. They went, "What about Casey?
Kills children
it.
Or something."
Yeah.
Oh, for God's sake. Oh, yeah, that's another thing. They all find out their name in that, like, 4-minute waste of time scene where they're just sat around and they're looking in their fucking Primark T-shirts and they've all got a label. Names. It's so weird. Names. Yeah.
That you know what? I think that is a scene I realised this show is going to be really bad.
Yeah.
I was saying about this the other day to my girlfriend. I said, like, don't throw too much information at the audience because they won't get it. And with that, like, it throws every single character name at you in maybe a 2-minute scene.
Yeah.
And it's like, what? Like, if I had paused it straight away afterwards and someone had said to me and went, right, what are their names then? I wouldn't be able to tell you. And the show would have just told me. And it's not my attention span being bad. Is that your brain isn't wired to take in that many names at once.
And the also,
that I was like, this is fucked.
And also, all the names are like almost identical to each other. You got like Brody, Taylor, Hayden, Mason, Donovan. They're all like almost exactly the same vowels and consonants.
They're really generic names. So yeah. I call them all like Steve.
Right.
This is Steve, this is Stephen, this is Stefan, this is Dave, this is David, this is.
Yeah.
Like, it'd be just like, fucking hell. Like, give me some distinction here, people.
I know.
Mm. What did you think of the Bonnie and Clyde character, me and Greg?
Is the character I wanted to fucking rip into.
Fuck me.
Yeah. The Asian woman is me.
Yeah.
And Brody, the bald man is Greg. Me and Greg. So, Clara Wong, apparently her name is.
Brilliant.
What my name is.
These are the two characters I really wanted to rip into.
They were weird, weren't they?
They were so pointless. Carry on, Adam. Go for it, man.
I've dubbed the guy, I've called him Shit Vin Diesel in my notes.
The exact three words came to my mind. I was like, there, that's a Shit Vin Diesel. As soon as I saw him.
He looks like if you took Vin Diesel, but then someone like sharted Mutton Vindaloo over his face.
Oh, God.
Like, he's got this sort of like puby little ginger beard. He looks like a total bell end. And when he first comes in, I was like, he looks like he's just walked off a set of like Bang Bros or something.
He looks like
Johnny Sin's less successful baby brother.
Yeah, but it's like he looks all sort of like big and a bit scary, and then he sort of starts talking, and then he's sort of like he drops the act, and his like sort of very vapid bald Asian friend can't like whatever her name is. She looks like. In every scene, she looks really bored.
Yeah.
One of the worst in terms of acting.
She's probably the worst actress in the show.
Yeah. She's horrible.
She looks like she wouldn't even get cast in something at uni, you know? Like, she's appalling. Like,
oh, God, like, yeah. If
she went into, like, to do, like, a production at uni, people go, she's not very good.
Mm.
Which is saying something.
She was better when they were caught at the end. I thought she acted a lot better when she wasn't on the island. Just a weird thought.
Hmm.
You know, when they looked a lot, you know, when they were like fucking in trial. Well, that trial thing, they had about four different trials.
Oh, my God. We need to get weird. To that. That's a separate point. We'll come to that for sure.
But yeah, with Shit Vin Diesel, he also gets one of my favorite scenes in the entire show. So, I think with all the characters, I've sort of tried to describe them in different ways. So I've tried to summarize them. So there's the bland rapist, there's the murder bitch, there's the bitchy bitch, there's the protagonist girl who's pretty fucking boring, there's the doctor character who's blatantly a doctor, and spoilers, turns out to have been a doctor. I've got school shooter guy, because like he's obviously going to be a school shooter. Annoying hairy dude, Alex Jones. And I've got a Bella Danger as well. Bella Danger is the one who Shit Vin Diesel, spoilers, decides to fucking murk with his machete, like, straight away. The moment I saw her, I was like, I started seeing this, like, weird porn connection the more I watched it. I was like, this feels like the start of, like, a porno, but it's like, you know, like, a porno does a plot bit.
Right.
It has some random porn star going, we don't really know how we got on the island, but we were there, and Brody was hot. You know, like those sort of fucking, that sort of shit. It's like a porno where they just pull out all the porn, and then it's just a bunch of people who can't act trying to act. It's like, ugh!
Even the cinematography and like the colour grading, all of it. Like when they're...
That's porny.
When they're in the jungle, it's so blatantly a set. It looks identical to that kind of thing that you're talking about, for sure.
Hmm. But yeah, like with all the characters, they're all incredibly like one note and boring. But there's one character who I forgot to mention, who I like to call Halle Boring, because she's like Halle Berry, but really fucking boring.
Right. Such and a beta, Halle Berry.
She reminds me of like early 2000s Halle Berry. Now she had like really short hair.
Oh, is this the wow, so edgy character?
Yes, that character.
Yeah,
she was in X-Men, this actress.
Really?
Yeah, at X-Men Dark Phoenix.
Really? Oh, and like what, as a big role or?
She's not on the first page of actors.
On IMDb?
No.
Probably like a cameo or something.
Yeah.
But like the thing is, like she gets on the island and then straight away she's... just sunbathing. Yeah.
She's just... this is one of my problems as well, is that none of these characters are particularly likable, which I get later on.
They're not at all. They're
all prisoners or whatever, but like...
But the thing is, they're not even made... They're not... That's not intentional. Because they're trying to make them seem normal and nice people for the audience member to be conflicted and be like, oh shit, they're prisoners, but I really liked them, but this guy's done this... I just didn't care about any of them.
Yeah, that's exactly the same here. Like, every character is a prick, but it's, like, ridiculous. But that character gets one of the funniest bits in the whole show. I think you know where I'm going with this.
Oh, God. Has it got something to do with chickens?
Yes, it does. It does. It's to do with the infamous chicken soup scene.
God's sake.
And this is brilliant. So what happens is, towards the end of the show, Bonnie and Clyde, which is shit Vin Diesel and his Asian friend, they turn up to be terrible and basically go, "This is the plot, bruh. If you don't follow the plot, I'll beat you up." Like, this is the thing I should also mention is shit Vin Diesel. He does the thing that real Vin Diesel does, where he puts on a very, like, deep voice. But the moment he shouts, he goes, like, squeaky.
Yeah.
Which, like, I always remember in one of the Fast and Furious films, you know, Vin Diesel was like, "And you're my father. He talks like that. And then randomly, yeah, he like shouts, like, "No, don't hurt anybody." It's like, what? Try into your voice, you weird fuck. But this guy does the same thing. But he, like, he sort of rocks up and basically goes, "This is the plot." And it's really fucking terrible. But basically, people try and escape the island. And Halle Boring tries to escape the island.
She does.
She escapes the island, but we don't see what happens. But somehow her raft's flipped. It's just randomly upside down, and she's like climbing up a mountain. It's like, hang on.
And she's
Yeah, she's all wounded.
She's more fucked up than the guy that got eaten by a shark.
And then magically came back alive.
Yeah.
Perfectly fine. Yeah, that's weird shit.
We'll come to him.
But she climbs up this fucking thing, like falls asleep. And wakes up and she's all bandaged up, like bandaged her hand, and she wakes up and there's this bowl that says chicken soup, and she fucking drinks it. And then shit Vin Diesel rocks up in his little tank top and goes like, "You know, there's one other person on this island." And she goes, what do you mean? He goes, "There's a cannibal on the island." And then the Asian girl goes, "Also, there's no chicken." And then she unwraps this little bandage on her hand, and lo and behold, her fingers are gone. And it's meant to be like shocking, but it's so funny.
How would you not realize that your fingers are fucking missing?
Yeah, like it's like if someone stabbed me and then I didn't realize that, it almost functions on Looney Tunes logic, where it's like Wile E. Coyote can keep moving until he looks down, and then
Like
sort of Len goes, "Oh, my fingers are gone. Pain!" It's like, because she wasn't looking. It's just ridiculous. But that scene, I laughed so loud that I think I woke my roommate up.
We also skipped over something there that's pretty interesting, is that for some reason, because fuck it, why not, there's a hidden cannibal on the island, which is referenced to in the last episode when the warden says, "Oh, great touch with a cannibal," but then he's never referenced, we never see him. It's just such a pointless little, oh, okay, cool. Another cliche to throw into an island drama.
Yeah, cannibalism.
The thing with Bonnie and Clyde character is that, so they turn up, and admittedly it is a bit of a shock because you as the audience thinking, oh, there's more people on the island, okay. But when you're not given any time to process that before they go like, "Ah, shit, they found us out, babe. We should have done this. Oh, yeah, we're actually officers of part of the island." It's like, whoa, hang on, what? All impact.
The biggest problem with the show is that it constantly blows its wad really quickly.
Yeah.
Like, constantly. It's just like, oh, I've got an idea, look. Like, it's like a little five-year-old who's drawn, like, a really bad drawing.
Mm.
And they run up to you and they go, "Look at my drawing!" Like, they really can't hold in an idea or keep it going, like, every reveal in the plot, like particularly what's his name, rapey jock guy, not Bryce from 13 Reasons Why, but like I sort of immediately looked at him and was like, he looks like a boring hunk. I bet he's a rapist. And then lo and behold, he's a rapist. But like the show can't go 10 minutes about introducing that. Like within, like literally within 10 minutes, it's like, oh hey, he's a stereotype, he's a rapey white dude stereotype. And I was like, oh wow, that was quick. I was like, you could have at least given us an episode where we sort of get to like him and then like make him charming and nice for a whole episode and then have him do something. But yeah. No, like it just literally spunks it all over the place nice and quick.
That's one of my issues with this, is that the writing is it's the laziest form of writing, in that every character it's like a roll call in that they only cease to be interest. They only start to be interesting, or they start to show symptoms of who they are when the plot requires it to happen. There's no laying a foundation throughout. Episode one, it's about Chase and Casey. And then, oh, we need to find out more about Donovan. Let him say some stuff. Let him have his flashback. Oh, now we know more about him, so we'll give him some stuff to say. It's also when we need them, we need them. There's no actual laying the seeds for who we think he might be throughout the season, and then nicely and eloquently sewing it all up together.
Yeah, the character development is shocking, isn't it?
It's awful. Because, I mean,
it's absolutely shocking.
Mason, the little wiry twink, is given nothing to do. I wrote, the first time I saw him, I wrote school shooter vibes. And then when we found out his backstory, I wrote dash, and in capitals, I put fucking knew it.
Yeah. Anyone that, like, he looks like he's about to cry in every scene.
Yeah.
That little face he's pulling in, like, every single scene. Do you know what I mean?
Yeah.
Kind of, like, miserable, like, frown, about to cry face. Like, every single scene. Like, even the one where he's shooting up the mall.
Yeah, it's the thing of, like, he's there, he's just in the background, and then when it's time to see his backstory, that he's getting a few lines, and he goes, they'll fucking pay, or something like that, or he shoots the people he pretends to shoot Blair, or whoever the fuck it is, with the flare gun, and then we cut to his flashback, and then we cut back to him, and then it's like, oh, fuck it, he's done with now. Like, what, I don't care, that doesn't make me care about him.
Yeah,
it's really weird.
Donovan killed him as well. Yeah, exactly. Donovan.
So Donovan, the incel, basically. So Donovan is the first one to go into the water, and lo and behold, he's sort of bitten by a shark, and he's taken away by a shark, and then we're all like, oh, okay, Donovan's dead then. But then I think
hoping that'd be the end of him, but no.
Well, then, like, half an hour later, I think, or another episode later, he's found with a shark bite, and he's basically knocking on death's door.
Mm.
And then 15 minutes later, he's proposing to Blair.
Oh, fucking hell.
Do you remember the scene where the main character's getting confronted, and he just pops up out of nowhere and goes, you know, I'm supposed to be the dead guy, but can you just fuck off? No one believes you?
Yeah.
And I was like, what in the world am I looking at here?
I know what you mean.
I've watched that and I'm like, Jesus Christ.
It annoyed
me.
But
I do weirdly like the character development of him. That's the weirdest, like, bit I liked.
There's never really a lot given to him. It's all like, it's all payoff and no setup.
Well, the thing is, he's not given any character development because he's a dead guy in the corner for three episodes. Then he proposes, she rejects him, and then we get a flashback of him being creepy, and then he's given all the creepy incel dialogue.
It was just like, I kind of liked him, and it was the fact it, like, he's kind of likable before he proposes. That's what kind of was like, oh, he was a bit of a freak. That's kind of like the weird bit that I like. But yeah, I know what you mean. He didn't do fuck all for four episodes.
Yeah.
Actually, speaking of that scene, that made me really laugh was the bit where she has her flashback of her backstory, and she goes, oh, it's fine that I'm not attracted to you. I'm actually a lesbian. It's like literally word for word, that's the line. Yeah. I was like,
yeah. Yeah.
Not even noticed either.
It's
by
so
the character.
Funny. She just goes, oh, don't worry, I'm actually a lesbian. It's cool. I'm allowed to not like you. I was like, what are we doing here, people? This is so dumb. Probably one of my favourite scenes in the whole show because it was so fucking funny.
Yeah.
One thing I also, before we like switch topics, you know, we're saying about Bonnie and Clyde. I thought they were going to be really, like, they were bad actors because they were going to be really good stuntmen. But when they get a fight scene, it's revealed that actually no, they're just really bad actors. But I was maybe they're just here to be like action characters, you know, they're going to have like a fight scene or something, but no, they are just really bad. I was like, oh right, that's a shame. It was really, really appalling.
Yeah, that fight, yeah, it's in episode 6 where they're investigating that mansion or whatever that Chase found in like episode 2 that they just decided not to look for or even move their shelter to it. And I don't really know why they're there, but it's for Cooper to have his flashback and work out that he was in the army. But I mean, that choreography is really flat. It's really shit. It's boring. There's a random handstand in there for some reason. Like, there's more cuts and edits than Avengers, and that's pretty choppy and horrible action scenes. Chase gets stabbed, and it tries to make me emotional, but I don't care, because by that point, I already know it's a simulation, and it doesn't matter.
Yeah.
Yeah, and she's just going to get brought back into the weird prison complex that's in, like, 2083.
I feel like that should have been the point where they reveal that it's a simulation. Instead of revealing it in episode 2.
When she got stabbed.
When she got stabbed. Bit. So then there'd be a little bit more of a chance of me thinking, oh, shit, she's going to die on the island. She's never going to find
out. Yeah, they've done that way too early, haven't they? I've looked, it's episode 2, isn't that, as you said?
End of episode two. Yeah.
And they're already kind of, well, ruining the whole fucking thing.
Yeah.
In episode 2. I would have loved that to, like, come out in episode 7. That would have been brilliant. That would have been a big
moment. That would have almost been like...
Well, if they had done it right.
It would almost be incentive to be like, oh, that's a good twist. Like, then you could have written off certain things like, why is everyone's hair always so fucking perfect? How did that guy recover from wounds so quickly?
Why are they the best looking death row prisoners ever?
Yeah, why is everyone in this looking like they should be in a fucking porno? Yeah. Like, there might almost be justification for some of that shit, but... You sort of think about it and you go, oh, maybe it's because of simulation. But I went, this show's not that clever.
This show's no way that clever.
There's no way that it's actually probably something way more dumb. Mm. And the moment I accepted how dumb the show was going to be, the more I was like, okay, I can deal with it now.
Yeah. From episode 3, 4 onwards, I was like, oh, I can deal with it now. It's not shocking me as much now.
It's
as bad. It's just not.
You walked out of like a morbid. Termination just to see how stupid it can get.
Yeah, it's got that weird watchable factor to it that was like, I want to see how shit this is.
Yeah, I feel that.
The next episode.
All the foreshadowing throughout it is pretty meaningless. As we said there, the plot twist is ruined in the first 2 hours. And it's even revealed in the trailer. I don't know if you guys watched the trailer.
Is it? No,
I didn't bother.
They even like point it out there, but they don't even make it seem like, oh, is there any mystery to this? And it's like, well, no, they're obviously in some kind of like, the island isn't a real island, is the point that you get. The book that Taylor finds while she's sunbathing is...
The Mysterious Island?
Mysterious Island. The camera makes a massive point of her finding it, her looking at it, and then it getting lost in the waves. It's totally fucking useless. It's not found again.
That's just wanky screenwriting.
Yeah.
Like, that's what that was. Like, I've seen that. I've fucking done shit like that before.
I've labelled...
They're being real clever, but they're not.
Yeah. I've labelled some of the inconsistencies I've found. And so Clyde, he wraps this... Or he, like, whips out this, like, screen on his arm, this arm technology.
Oh, yeah.
And it's like, okay, cool. And then it's never seen again, not explained. I don't even know what he... I think he, like, sends, like, a virtual flare or something to let people know where he is.
He says, who are we fucking with next?
Right. And it's like, and it's so like, bizarre.
God, it's like, it is so. And then the next shot after that is another scene we don't see again.
Yeah.
Is of all the people in the surveillance room. Like, they're on fucking Big Brother. Mm. Like, really?
Yeah,
that's just introduced out of nowhere. It's like, so this would have actually been quite interesting if the show had been like, you know, say if in episode 1, it's like they're all being fucking like, we just found out our names. We don't need to build a shelter. Like, what? I mean, as retarded as that was. But then if it was to then suddenly cut to, like, some mysterious people in, like, a computer room watching it, you'd be like, oh.
Right.
Oh, that's interesting. What's that about then?
Exactly.
That would warrant a bit of, like, oh, there's a bit of mystery. Exactly. I'm a bit intrigued. But it immediately, like, that sign that should have been in there from, like, episode 1. Because you go, right, it's a simulation or something. There's some outside force. Where's this going to go? And then do something interesting with it, but they don't. Mm. Like, but that almost would have been good, but they don't do that.
So many bits where you're like, this could have been so good. Like, we've said it outside so many times, like, oh, this could have actually been good if this happened, this happened, this happened. Like, just imagine if there was a good writer. I looked at the writer, and this is his first first like creation.
No fucking
first sentence he's written in English.
Yeah. And like, surely, like, if there was a good writer on this, then I reckon it could have been a genuinely unbelievable show. I really do see the potential in it.
Yeah.
In the plot, anyway.
We're sticking with inconsistencies. So one of them, I think the doctor says, if you die in the simulation, you die in real life, which is applicable to Brody, but then Bonnie gets killed, but is alive in real life and on trial. Makes no sense. The plot makes sense when it wants to.
Oh, yeah.
It doesn't obey its own rules.
Cooper is, obviously, he's blown up by the landmine and he gets a facial scar from it, but he hasn't got the facial scars in the island. But then Casey has got a stab wound from when she stabbed herself in real life.
Oh, yeah. That's weird.
Speaking of the prosthetics and Cooper's scar, did anyone, was it just me, or did, were they actually like really shitty prosthetics?
That actually reminds me of the funny, one of the scenes I thought was really funny. It's when he's just got his scars, and to show that he's in an army hospital, the wall says army hospital. It's just like some random room, but it has army hospital written in like aerial black in the background. I was like, what, sorry? That fucking cracked me up. I was like, that's the dumbest shit I've ever seen. Oh, that one did make me laugh.
Yeah, Adam, you were saying about the special effects that you thought were good.
Mm.
What are they? What?
The shark scene. Surprise! Like, I was
really
impressed by how, like, these the sharks actually look all, like
they bloody didn't.
Really? I thought they were awful. I mean,
they weren't as horrendous as I thought they were going to be. They were surprisingly, like, it just showed that the show had a decently expensive production value. I was like, the sharks aren't in it very much, but I was like, the lighting looks pretty good on them. Like, they don't look like you can tell they're not real, but they're not like the most horrendous sharks.
I'm not a master in CGI shark, but I reckon I've seen worse, but I didn't think they were that good. What did you think about them, Greg?
I thought they were fucking horrible. I thought they were really bad. I don't think that they looked like sharks, or they didn't look like good CGI for me. Okay, so let's talk about the final episode, episode 7. The final one good thing that came from this series is that it's limited series, so that truly is the ending of this diabolical piece of shit. The ending, fuck me, so bad.
Oh, it's bad. It's just bad.
It's hard to even know where to start with it.
Yeah, it is. It really is. Like, I mean, go on, Greg, sorry.
The final episode is just fucking talking. No action happens. Nothing happens. They just talk.
Yeah, I couldn't even stomach it. I got bored like halfway through. I stopped listening. I completely.
They talk and age 39 years or whatever it is. Yeah. Why I've said 39 there? That's weird.
Do you want to know 39 actually? Because 39 is this like pretty, oh, look how cool we are thing from the writers. They make a point of 39 steps is the distance between everyone that landed on the island, and the number 39 crops up a few times. It's like the number of someone's flat and all of this. It's because the average distance that inmates walk to the electric chair is 39 steps.
Oh, how edgy.
Yeah. It's like, oh, wow.
Honestly, it's like, that is like the like quote unquote edgiest thing they've done in that, isn't it? They've just tried their best to be edgy as fuck, and it's backfired in the whole last episode, I think.
Yeah, because the whole point of it is that they are all prisoners. I don't know if we mentioned they are all prisoners, and they're all on death row. And the point, fuck me. So I'm gonna let you know what the reason is for this. The island. It's an experiment to see if people can be redeemed of their crimes, because due to rising sea levels, there's more criminals.
Oh, God.
Which was only actually said in the last 40 seconds of the show.
Yeah.
Is that really the reason it's given?
The doctor says...
I didn't get that bit.
Rising sea levels has meant that there's more criminals, and overpopulation means that they need a way to redeem people.
What does that even mean?
I don't know.
That's what does that even mean?
Where's the correlation?
There is none. That's
spectacularly shit.
The whole fucking, like, there's a trial scene. The scene where they're all talking to the judges, That's just talking for 7 minutes nonstop.
Is it?
It's seven fucking minutes of talking. And the, oh my God, we were talking about the cinematography earlier. This is the one thing that bugged me the most. The lighting is just dog shit.
Mm.
And okay, you can say they're trying to cover the judges and meet the mysterious, but they're not totally covered. It's like a weird in-between of you can make out their facial features, but they're just not lit.
No, exactly, yeah. You can't really make out who they actually are.
But not even in a way where it's like, oh, mysterious. Judges. Yeah.
Yeah.
Just fucking dog shit. It really annoyed. That's one of the things that annoyed me the most, is that that happens a few times in the series. And the lighting is just horrendous. And not even... It's trying... I don't know if it's trying to be stylistic, but it isn't.
No, I totally get you with that. I totally get you.
So, yeah, we've got the warden who's corrupt. We haven't mentioned him, but, I mean, he's just a stereotypical Texan.
Yeah.
Like, he's got the hat and the sheriff's badge. He's a dickhead. And he was the one that was actively trying to sabotage the experiment. Quote.
Oh, yeah, Colonel Sanders. That's what I started.
An actual line of dialogue was, yes, I was trying to sabotage it. Sabotage the fuck out of it. Because at some point,
you like to say bitches a lot as well.
Yeah, and the bitches. Scene with Bonnie and Clyde—they're about to rat the warden out, and the judges basically say that if you guys were working under someone else, you could avoid prison and maybe even get compensation. Both Bonnie and Clyde look at the warden. He looks back at them. One of the judges looks at the warden and says, "Oh, it could lead to getting rid of some corruption," and then they just don't rat him out. And yet everyone's looking at the warden. They know that he hired Bonnie and Clyde to go in and ruffle feathers. But nothing happens with that. It's just such a... There's no drama to it. I don't care.
Yeah. I'm seeing these scenes, and only because you're saying them now and explaining them, I actually fully understand them.
Yeah.
I'm lost after all these scenes where they're looking at the guard. That scene that you just said, it makes sense now, but that message did not come across trying to make that scene at all.
It's horrendous.
Horrendous. The twist at the end.
Oh my God.
Oh my God.
The twist is there because fucking why not? We might as well have one twist. Go on, Zach, explain the twist for us.
They've gone back to this island at the years they committed the crime, or how old they were when they committed the crime that got them into death row.
Yeah. Why?
I mean, were we told?
No, there's no fucking reason.
No,
there's
no fucking reason why. It's absolute. Like, it's like an episode of fucking Quantum Leap, mate, when she's looking in the mirror. My God. Like, what? Like, oh.
It's just pointless.
It didn't even look like her.
No, it's just a fucking pointless thing to throw in. There's like, oh, why don't we make her 25 years older? And then this awful pan of she's allowed out because it's revealed that she didn't actually kill her mum, her boyfriend did, or some shit. And she's allowed to leave the prison, and it pans to this futuristic flying car metropolis thing. And then my favorite bit of dialogue in this whole... I literally burst out laughing when this happened, the last scene. When the warden is put onto the island and he has no idea.
That fucking cracked me up.
He has no idea who he is or why he's there. And he says, "Where am I?" And Casey says, "Welcome to One Land."
What is that? I didn't even get that. I didn't even understand that.
I don't
understand. What were they trying to do there?
I've got no idea. I have no idea.
Absolutely no idea.
It might have been referenced earlier on or something, but it's lost on me.
No, and it's the black guy and Casey, who you never see together in the show ever.
Yeah.
Together, which is another weird combination.
I know.
And it's just
garbage.
It really is. It's just there's just no. It could have been really good if they wanted death row. Yeah, they're all on death row, basically, and they're all left in the island to see if they can be redeemed of their crimes. But I don't care. I don't want to see any more of this.
I'm not convinced there's a really redeeming element of this entire show.
No.
The irony.
The thing is that we're meant to be glad for Casey, for Chase, because she spent 25 years on death row for something she didn't do. But it's all just done so slapdash and all at the end or not explained well that I just don't care.
Like, is her husband a good man, a bad man? Like, does she like him at the end? Like, well, she said, "Oh, I just want to speak to him at the end." And then when she finds out she's old, she kind of like panics about how her husband's old. No, well, if you're annoyed at him that you've killed your mum, you shouldn't give a shit, surely.
Exactly.
Like,
not even that. It's just you've gone to prison for 25 years.
Yeah.
For something you didn't do that he didn't have the balls to come and admit. But then why are they both on death row?
Again, weird. So weird. And why show the cutscene where she shoots her?
I don't know. There's so many red herrings. My conclusion is that there's just so many red herrings in this and so many loose ends that you just stop caring at one point.
Yeah.
You just lose any energy to care. Yeah. And it's such a shame because this could have been really interesting.
Yeah. Yeah. Goes on to my point of saying, like, great, great potential ruined by horrible writing.
Yeah.
That's the be all end all of it, I think. Absolutely horrendous writing.
Yeah. Adam, final thoughts?
I would pretty much agree with that. I think the show is a weird mess of bad acting, bad writing, bad directing. But I think it is one of those domino effect things where if you get the writing really bad, everything else collapses under it as well.
Yeah.
So I'm gonna point the blame pretty much solely at the writing and go, this show is garbage. It's fucking terrible.
Yeah, that's fair. I just think that, I just worry that Netflix gives 14 million to this. What things are we being, what's the word, being starved?
Denied.
Yeah, what are we being denied? What are we being starved of that is good content, but they probably just don't have the confidence or they don't have the backing to approach Netflix to be like, give us this show. It makes me upset that this has got 14 million and something else that we don't know and haven't heard of hasn't, but could be a better idea.
Yeah, by someone a lot more talented than what's the bloody retard's name?
Name and shame him, Zach. Name and shame him.
Anthony Salter.
Anthony Salter. Fuck you, Anthony.
Fuck you.
Yeah, you stole time from my life and I'll never forgive you for
7 hours of my fucking life.
Oh, stole 14 man. Million.
yeah. He's laughing.
You know.
Okay, so this is the fun bit, lads. I think we're going to have real fun with this. We're going to rate this out of 10. Given that, let's remember that all of our previous ratings, Tiger King, Afterlife and Quiz, they all sit nicely on 8 out of 10. Let's go to Adam to get your opinions of where this should sit.
You know what? I'm thinking a good 7. No, I'm joking. This fucking thing needs to be buried so fucking deep. I literally can't think of anything that would make me want to watch it. It's not even like so bad it's funny. Like it's not even into that territory. Like it has moments of being that, but generally it isn't. I would give this show a 1. Mm. I would rather watch the last series of Game of Thrones.
God, that is saying something.
That says something. Okay, interesting. Zach, what are you thinking?
I'm going to just go straight to it. Give it a 1.
Wow.
Absolute shocker. It pisses me off more that it was such a great idea and it was just so badly executed. So yeah, I'm gonna go for a 1.
Okay. See, the thing is, I'm starting from 1 and I'm thinking what could take this up a level? What is redeemable about this? And the only thing I can think of is it's a really good case study of what not to do with 14 million or what not to do if you get a Netflix original. But that it sort of provides a case study for that. But I can't warrant giving it a 2 even. So I think I'm going to have to match you on 1. That's the first time we've agreed on anything on this.
Oh, wow. It's depressing, but a 1. Yeah. It's fully deserved.
Welcome to One Land.
You disgusting man, Greg.
There we go. Yeah. We've gone full circle. That's why they had that line in dialogue in there.
they were reviewing their show.
Yeah. Oh, man. So the island gets one. I think we can conclude that it might be one of the worst shows on Netflix. My goodness.
It begs the question of how Netflix even produces its shows. Like,
yeah, that's a whole episode in itself, I feel, just analysing Netflix. Oh, dear. Okay. Well, next week, hopefully, we come back with something slightly better than that. It has been fun to discuss something this awful. And I'm glad you guys have enjoyed watching it. You're welcome.
Fuck off, Greg. You
know, I'm never going to forgive you for this.
Oh, dear. Okay, if you have any suggestions of anything we can watch, you guys listening at home, if you have anything that you want us to review and rip apart or compliment, do give us a shout, comment in the comments below. Make sure to subscribe to us and hit the bell to keep updated with new podcasts. And follow us on Twitter and Instagram at Real Men's Room. Lads, thank you very much for joining me. Adam, thank you very much.
Been a pleasure.
And Zach, thank you very much, my friend.
No worries, mate. Been a pleasure.
Until next week, stay safe, everyone. We'll catch you later.
Bye.
Bye.